This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Thursday, the 6th of March, and I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. This is your BizNews briefing. In today's show, we pull focus on the upcoming South African budget, hopefully in a second attempt, on the 12th of March next week. First up, the DA spokesman on finance, Dr. Mark Burke, who shares that the DA has been hard at work, has tabled a robust plan, is very firm on the fact that South Africans cannot pay any further tax, and that the emphasis has to be on reducing government spending. Let's take a listen.
First and most important point is that we've said no more taxes, but that would include value-added tax, personal income tax, corporate tax. And it's for the simple reason that South Africa and South Africans cannot afford any more taxation. People are already struggling to make it to the end of the month, and the idea that we would overburden them further, especially with value-added tax, is somewhat inconceivable to us. Our week-long assessment has yielded more than 30 billion rand in spending cuts, but we haven't then touched yet on things like the executive class in these nominal government departments. So you've got entities that have got, you know, 7 employees and 10 board directors, and those board directors are earning salaries, and it's multi-million rand annual salaries. So all I'm really saying is something that I expect definitely the BizNews audience would know, but I also would venture to say most of Africans know already, which is there's so much fat built into the system. The governance arrangement is so inefficient and there's so much wastage. We need to focus our energy there. And we also need to ask ourselves, why is there such a resistance to a politically neutral spending review?
And of course, that's the big question. So with the cuts that you have identified in just a week, totaling 30 billion rand, would we need to maintain the VAT rate, thinking what we could do beyond 1 week of, as you say, an intensive 3-month strategy on cutting the fat? Surely we could even look to cutting the VAT rate and giving relief back to the South African consumer.
100%. So one thing to understand about VAT is it's a punitive measure by any description for two reasons. The first is, since it was introduced in the early 90s, it's never gone down. It's only gone up. And the second reason is that cumulative cost over time is almost generational. You know, so even if a family is earning 5,000 rand a month, you know, they're going to be looking at a 0.75%, which was the latest suggestion. They'll be looking at another 38 rand or so in a month, an extra expenditure of 400 rand a year. Now, on 5,000 rand a month, to lose 400 rand a year to the government is ludicrous. So to answer your question 100%, if we do our job right, we can absolutely decrease personal income tax and VAT over time. Maybe to explain it to you this way, the Nelson Mandela government in 1995, if you take the amount that they had in their budget and you inflation adjust it to 2025 money, this budget that has now been proposed is 3 times bigger in 2025 money. But everybody would agree that the Nelson Mandela government got so much more done. Likewise, the Mbeki government had a budget that is half the size of the budget that's now being proposed. And during the Mbeki government, these social grants had already been incorporated into that budget. So we simply do not have a revenue problem yet. We've got an expenditure problem. We are deeply inefficient, and we should focus our energy there. And it's almost an ANC fallacy for us all to be speaking about where will the difference come from. The fact is, there's no difference. We are overspending, our procurement is inefficient, and we should focus our energy there.
You can catch that full interview with Dr. Mark Burke, the DA's spokesman on finance, on biznews.tv. Davi Ruert, chief economist at the Efficient Group, says there are rumors doing the rounds that we are going to see a 0.75% increase in VAT. Having covered the South African budget for 40 years, Davi is extremely excited to see what happens on the 12th of March, as he says this is completely new territory for South Africa.
I think if there's no budget, then the ANC will sit with a lot of egg on their face. So yes, I think there's going to be a budget. But this just might be the opportunity for the opposition parties to really undermine the ANC. Because according to rumors, there is going to be a VAT increase of not 2%, but probably 0.75%. And this is the opportunity for the other other political parties to really have a go at the ANC. The reality is that the debt levels are just too high. We cannot really increase taxes. The only tax that can bring in substantial amounts of money is VAT. You cannot increase personal income tax. By the way, I think there is going to be a stealth increase in personal income taxes by not adjusting bracket creep. You certainly cannot increase company taxes, and the rest are just rats and mice. So the only tax that can be increased really is VAT. But of course, the thing that needs to happen is that we need to cut back on state expenditure. And there are quite an interesting bunch of things that could happen. I think what they're going to do, I think they're going to hold back on the state's contribution to the Government Employment Pension Fund. That is close to about 60 billion or so. And I also got a suspicion that the Minister of Finance is going to say, listen, you civil servants, I can't give you 5.5% increase. We have to bring that in a little bit lower. In fact, if I was the minister, I would have said they can't get any increase whatsoever because the civil servants are overpaid as it is. But this is a tough one. And I must tell you, Bronwyn, I absolutely love this. I mean, this is the 40th budget that I would have analyzed. Let's see if there is actually going to be a 40th one.
And if we do see that 0.75% increase in VAT, does that mean then that the DA, which has been very clear within the Government of National Unity that South Africans cannot pay any more tax and they are not in favor of any increases, does that mean that the DA has had to back down at the negotiating table?
That is indeed. If there is a 0.75, that certainly means that the DA would have backed down. Yeah, that is a very interesting political question. But, you know, this is why I really do like this, because the reality, at least, is staring everybody in the face here, especially the ANC, and that they've been misusing this state, basically, that the state is too big, that they've been spending too much money, that the macroeconomic, and this is crucially important, macroeconomic policies are wrong. That is why the economy is not growing. And this is what we have now. We just saw, just by the way, which is also interesting, we just saw the economic growth numbers for last year, 2024, and the economy did really horribly last year, worse than what I've expected. So this honeymoon period of a government of national unity certainly is over. We do not see the positive impact on the economy, and all sort of ratios will pull out of, will move in the wrong direction, like the debt and the deficit to the GDP ratios are likely to be worse now than what we've expected. So the point I want to make is that the pressure is piling up on the Minister of Finance. And that is a good thing, because if you really want to get politicians to spend less money, take their money away. If you give them more money by tax increases, they will continue to spend. And this is where we are now. They do not have a choice, Bronwyn. They must cut back on state spending. But you're right. There's a possibility of 0.75% increase in VAT. But I think the analysts are going to, if the DA supports that, I think analysts are going to make their life very difficult for the DA also.
And just a final point. What happens if they cannot get to agreement on the 12th of March?
Well, then we don't have a budget. Well, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. We still have a budget, actually. A budget was approved a year ago, and that budget still applies. So we will have a budget, but eventually, over the next couple of months, we're going to run out of money. And then we must make a plan somewhere to get a budget. So that means we won't have a budget. But certainly, I think what we have seen, whether we'll have a budget or not, but this is a very important point in South Africa's history. It's politically very important and it's economically very important as well. So let's see what's going to happen. I can't wait for it.
Cities, South African economist Gina Schoeman says that we're going to need a great budget come the 12th of March in order to restore fiscal credibility given the cancellation of the budget on the 19th of February.
Our expectations for the budget next week, the revision of the budget that never was, is that the GNU at a bare minimum, together with National Treasury, will have to present a budget that restores a degree of fiscal credibility. Because the postponement, the lack of consultation within the GNU, the new sudden additional expenditure that required as much revenue as 60 billion from a 2 percentage point VAT hike, all of that means that fiscal credibility for South Africa has taken a knock. And so the hard line in the sand we believe National Treasury has already drawn is that if there is going to be more spending that needs to be paid for, they will not issue debt. They will not borrow in order to spend more on things that we don't have a track record of a positive fiscal multiplier for. So instead, they're going to have to look at the trade-off of what additional revenue raising they could do versus where they could cut expenditure. As a baseline view, we are not expecting a VAT hike of any sorts. We do believe that despite the fact that this has become an ANC versus DA battle within the GNU, and the DA clearly wants to win this battle fully, a VAT hike at this juncture has been so negative in the public discourse. And not just that, the process to approve a VAT hike through Parliament, even a small one, is so long drawn out that it does risk sustained GNU tensions through the year as the DA and ANC continue to debate it through the parliamentary process. And we don't need those tensions at the moment as a country, given that the GNU tensions have already been heightened thanks to other things, together with, of course, what's going on with US-South Africa relations. So this does mean that if there is no VAT hike at all, you would have to find other revenue-raising tools. And there is some tax relief that was given in order to make the 2 percentage point VAT hike less regressive. They could look at removing some of this. So, for example, the relief from the fuel levy, that would just be one small thing. But this does mean that they will have to also find a way to reduce some of the 60 billion in additional spending. That's where it gets really tricky, because they can't really move when it comes to what they've already said on the public sector wage bill, what they've said on the SRD COVID grant. So that means looking around at other things. And I guess the sad truth for South Africa is that those other things could actually have been good GNU spending. In other words, like digitization of home affairs, which has to go ahead. But if we're going to cut into those budgets, that does mean that we're potentially moving away a positive fiscal multiplier from spending on things that was really going to restore economic growth and economic stability to this economy.
George Glinas says that the 12th of March looms large as a potential step change for South Africa. We have the opportunity to set ourselves on the right trajectory, and he hopes that we do take this opportunity with open hands for the benefit of all South Africans.
The one thing that has obviously changed this time and is markedly different is the fact that the GNU kicked in to prevent the first budget from even taking place. That tells you that there's checks and balances within the GNU, and the fact that they're still negotiating tells me that there is an element of maturity about this GNU, that they can in fact talk about things and negotiate. So where does that leave us? I mean, I think it leaves us with a dislike for the VAT increase, the 2% VAT increase. I don't know that they can make up the difference of that 2% VAT increase purely through cutting of wasteful expenditure in such a short space of time. But I honestly believe that is the more prudent way to go. So there's a lot of wasted expenditure. There's a lot of corruption, malfeasance, etc. that I think this government could cut right out. But over and above that, it's maladministration. So, you know, if we had to ditch the current policies of cadre deployment for example, a meritocratic process of employing people and getting the right people for the job, doing a good job, then you don't need to bail out municipalities, you don't need to bail out SOEs, you don't need to do a whole bunch of things. So I think shifting to a meritocratic process is good. Relying more generally on the private sector to do some heavy lifting, both in maintenance and the running of these SOEs, would be a really good step forward. And then, you know, if the quid pro quo for that to achieve some sort of a compromise solution within the GNU comes in the form of a 1% VAT increase, well, that's still preferable to a 2% VAT increase, which would have been way in excess of any sort of inflation target that we've got at this stage of the game. So I'm hoping that we get a prudent budget that shows that the GNU is mature, that we can count on them, that there is some fiscal consolidation. They are paying attention to expenditure, not just raising taxes and relying on a very overtaxed and overburdened taxpayer to constantly fund the shortfalls that they're experiencing.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Every Sunday, Chris Steyn sits down with United Independent Movement leader Neil De Beer. And this is an extremely popular feature on BizNews TV. Here's a short extract of that interview, which sums up Neil De Beer's message for South African Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana.
When you have a business and you are currently spending more than what you get, the first thing the CFO does is he calls the board and he says, we have to do cost-cutting measures. Wow. What an initiative, Enoch. Cost-cutting measures. And cost-cutting measures is clear. Stop the members of parliament from getting lunch, breakfast, and supper. Cut it. 400 people, they can go get their own chow and bring their own Weet-Bix. There's 100 million. No more flights. If you want to fly, you have to have that amount or the rest. Hello, you do on Zoom. Cut them. So cut, but you have to have nuts to cut. And as I understand, that is a painful scenario. So, Chris, I wouldn't know. I'm not a cat. But I'm telling you right now, if we don't start cutting the nuts in this country, we are going to have a terrible trifle because you need good nuts for trifle.
Coming back to the DA's Mark Burke, I had to ask what would happen if, in fact, the government of national unity could not find any middle ground as we lead up to the budget on the 12th of March.
We've heard very clearly where you, as the Democratic Alliance within the Government of National Unity, is placing priority, and that is on cutting expenditure. You've spoken about the 30 billion, I'm going to say it again, that you've identified that could immediately be cut, and just in terms of efficiency increases, and that's only after a week of work. What happens come the 12th of the March? Is there any chance that the minister is again pulled from the podium? I mean, how are we going to go down to the wire? As you said, you're not a cabinet member. You can't share what, you know, and even if you were, you couldn't share what is happening behind closed doors. But the reality is we need to know that the government of national unity is working. Round one demonstrated, yes, it is. What happens on round two?
Well, look, what we have seen is the ANC loves to weaponize time. So they will exercise a form of brinksmanship and they will push it down to the wire and see who will blink first. But the other reality is the DA is standing firmly on the side of South Africans. Across the board, people are telling us, thank you for standing up. Thank you for saying that we cannot afford more tax. Please keep fighting. And so that's what we'll do. That's what I'll do. That's what we'll make sure we achieve here, is that we stand up for South Africans. Now, everybody's working really well together as far as they can to come up with a budget that is workable on the 12th of March. But I would point out to South Africans that the budget speech is but the first step in the process. We need to pass a number of bills over the next few months that makes the changes envisaged in the budget speech. And even if none of that were to happen, which is now we're venturing into the hypothetical, but for people who aren't lawmakers, this might be helpful. There are mechanisms in place so that if a budget is not agreed on, then the government doesn't come to a complete standstill. So in the first 4 months after that event, no more than 45% of the previous year's budget could be spent, and thereafter no more than 10% a month. So government will continue to function, even if we weren't able to come to an agreement, but we are working to avoid that reality. The fact is we have to cooperate with each other. The other final fact, perhaps, we're talking about facts, is that the ANC needs to emotionally adjust to the reality of being a party that controls 159 seats out of 400 in parliament, which is 39% of the seats. That is a coalition territory, and that requires consultation and finding consensus amongst partners. And so unless they're able to do that, we will have to look at what the situation is over the coming weeks. But we are still hopeful that they will. We'll stand our ground in any event.
The trip by four Afrikaner leaders to meet with senior members of the Trump administration has evoked mixed emotion at home, with the MK party saying that they should be tried for treason. Misinformation is spreading and driving antagonism across the board. BizNews editor Alec Hogg caught up with Solidarity Institute head Connie Mulder to establish the facts.
Look, the Americans have a whole intelligence agency. They know exactly what's going on in South Africa, and they appreciated the extra perspective and the extra facts that we gave them in the form of several reports, which were well researched. That just shows what has been the impact of these policies and what has been the ANC's foreign policy in the past years. But most of that is just confirming what they already knew. They've studied us extensively through a couple of administrations, due to the simple fact that the question burning in all of America's state machinery at the moment is South Africa a friend or a foe? And it has been burning for more than 10 years. And I think, unfortunately, if you talk to the ANC, the answer is a foe. And it's refreshing for America to hear from average South Africans who desperately want to counter that narrative and say, no, we're not nearly as anti-Western or anti-US as the ANC specifically is. And that then follows to don't punish the country who likes trading with the US, who doesn't have massive problems with the United States, for a couple of diplomats who got there, well, a couple of bureaucrats. So got their training in the Soviet Russia and who still sees the Cold War as ongoing. That means we've moved on. The ANC is still stuck trying to phone East Berlin to find out what they should do.
From your perspective, what was the intention of what was your goal? What when the delegation returned, would they have described as being mission successful?
So I think we went there with two goals. The first is, as stated, very simply put, to try and keep South Africa in AGOA, amongst others, but to try and make sure that the Americans who are really angry don't go to economic sanctions, etc., and hurt the country further for the utterances of a couple of politicians. So the first goal was to say, don't punish the country, which we've said this since 2018. That has been our point of view from the very start. Is we're a great country with a horrible government, and that means please don't punish the great country for the horrible government. There are better measures, and in effect, the message would be economic sanctions on the country is not going to affect the change that America wants to see in foreign policy. It's just not going to work. If you want to actually affect change, you would need to target the ANC individually through whichever means you can. It's not going to help to make several hundred thousand farm workers unemployed due to kicking us out of AGOA when the ANC still has, at least a corrupt ANC, which is most of them, still has several assets overseas and will not feel that pinch at all. So it's pleading for the country to say, look, don't punish the country for the actions of a government. And the second part would then be to introduce the Americans. We've had discussions, but to say, look, you've spoken about Afrikaners, but I don't think you know a lot about us. And this is now a delegation that says, all right, this is who we are. We're most likely the vast majority of Afrikaners are not going to take up your refugee status. In Afrikaans, the word is hardkoppig. We're quite stubborn in terms of this country, and we would like to remain here. But we are desperately trying to build the infrastructure, especially cultural infrastructure, that would enable Afrikaners to not only survive in South Africa, but to actively contribute to the bigger South African society in much, much better ways than we're doing currently. And although we don't expect any help, if you want to help, this is how you can help. But ultimately, the only thing that I would think would be mission success is, one, keeping South Africa in AGOA, and two, just acknowledging that Afrikaners are a cultural minority in their own right, and that the things that they strive for aren't weird or illegal, that it's a legitimate strive.
Earlier, BizNews' Chris Stain spoke to Wayne Sussman, who is an election analyst and who is giving us more detail around how the main parties have done in the by-elections since the national election.
Okay. On to the Democratic Alliance, please.
Sure. So just again, it's very important when you do analysis to take a step back. Generally, in coalitions, and we've just, by the way, we've seen something similar to this in Germany. I can think of many other countries in the Netherlands where the senior-junior coalition partner, if that makes sense, so the second largest party in the coalition, generally does worse in the next election. Not always, but generally does worse. And when the Democratic Alliance was negotiating the government of national unity, they would have obviously been acutely aware of this. The results in by-elections suggest, certainly in the Western Cape, that the DA have had a rocky road since the 2024 elections. Now, I just wonder if there's one big caveat. The overwhelming number of voters in the Western Cape are in the city of Cape Town, not in the Overstrand, and also in the Cape Winelands district, which is Stellenbosch, Paarl, Wellington, that area around Cape Town. Though Cape Town's about, if I remember correctly, 68%, the Cape Winelands about 12%. So that's 4 out of 5 voters are in that small area of the Western Cape. We haven't had many by-elections there, but the DA will be concerned of the Patriotic Alliance in the Platteland area and certainly also in the Cape Flats. But the by-election results since 2024 suggest that the PA continues to do well in the Platteland area, the outlying area, outlying areas, which includes, by the way, a place like George, which has a lot of voters. So that would worry the DA somewhat. You have seen the DA largely stabilize its support in other areas which are crucial to them, in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. There was one banana peel in eThekwini in Durban, but that had to do with some local factors. I do think that the DA has had a difficult time with the government of national unity, but in the last 2 weeks, I think has chalked up some victories, particularly on this argument about VAT, value-added tax. So this is something to watch. I know that the party, just like the ANC, in the coming years has a major leadership contest coming. That's going to be key for the party. But their main concern right now will be, can they take advantage of the negative perception towards the ANC in the city of Johannesburg and outlying areas? How are they going to counter the rise in popularity of the new Action SA mayor in Tshwane? And can they continue to win the overwhelming amount of support in key municipalities like Cape Town and continue to do well in places like eThekwini, Durban, and those other metropolitan areas? That'll be key for the DA in this year ahead.
That brings us to the end of today's BizNews briefing. We'll be back next week with more local and global context. Thanks as always for watching.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.